I want to focus today on a song. Two songs, actually. But one song that raises a question, a Shabbos perspective that needs to be developed and appreciated. And this is something that I'm in the middle of thinking about. It's not a completed thought, you could say. It's something that's germinating, but it's definitely something that I have been thinking about a lot. Been thinking about a lot. Because I came recently across a piece of Torah from the Maharal in a Pesach context that just made me sensitive to this concept. In the Maharal language, it's framed perhaps in a very particular way, in what the Maharal calls Chomer and Tzura, which we're going to come back to. But I want to develop it using language that maybe is more accessible to us and can help us frame our experience of Shabbos. So this song is an A.B. Rottenberg journey song, which I was introduced to years ago. I don't even know when he wrote the song. Maybe it was in the 80s. It's called It's Time to Say Good Shabbos. It's a beautiful tune with marvelous lyrics. It's great for a Shabbos in the summertime when there's not so much stress on Friday afternoon and you're in camp and you put it over the loudspeaker. So the Nekuda HaPnimis of this song, the chorus, oh, it's time to say good Shabbos, 'cause all your work is done. That line is the line that I'm thinking about. The idea of throwing away your hammer because there's nothing left to do, because your work is done. What does that mean? How do we approach that? So one way to say is that your work is done, meaning you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Memela, there's nothing left to do. That's what it says. Throw away your hammer. There's nothing left to do. But it seems that when we look at this deeper, we understand it's not just that there's nothing left to do. The idea is that your work is done. And what does that mean? Right? It's not just that I can't work anymore, so I might as well leave it alone. Somehow what is being expressed here is what we sing at Shalosh Shudos three times in our home. Some of you also maybe grew up with that. Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi, Lo Echzar. The Ribono Shel Olam is my shepherd, Lo Echzar. I'm not lacking. That's different, you notice, than saying, oh, I have a ton of things on my to-do list, but I can't get to them now, so I'll get to them later. The idea that there's nothing left to do means there's nothing on my to-do list. And that's what I want to understand. What does it mean practically? I'm a regular, normal person. I'm not a big tzaddik. I want to understand, what does it mean for me that there's nothing on my to-do list? But there is. There are tons of things on my to-do list. I just can't get to them until Motzoi Shabbos. So what does it mean that when we come to the highest point of Shabbos, Rava de Ravin, the Ratzon Shel HaRatzon, Shel HaShudos, we say over and over, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. I'm at a place that I'm not lacking anything. What does that mean? And it's highlighted in Hasidic thought in this particular piece. Turn the page. The Ma'orei Naim, the holy Rav Nachum Chernobyler, in his magnificent Sefer from the Ma'orei Naim, he has a comment in which he tackles this issue from multiple perspectives. The Ma'orei Naim This piece is in Parshas Miketz. I'm not certain why he put it in Miketz, probably because Miketz also has his shtiklach on Chanukah. So probably within Chanukah, he thought that it was good to put a piece about Shabbos. So he introduces the idea and the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah says, Avos Malachos, the main categories of work, I'm in source number 3, in the Rashi script, that's how the printer is in this version, Arboim Chasar Achas. How many categories of work are there on Shabbos? There are Arboim 40 Chasar Achas, minus 1. He says that's a very peculiar way to teach you the number 39. He should have said, Shloshim v'teisha, 39 categories of malacha. Why is it Arboim Chasar Achas? V'lo amru lamed tes malachos, second line. Kihine, because tzorech lios b'shabes ki'ilu malachto asuya. You have to feel on Shabbos as if all your work is done. That it's all done, not you put it away and you'll get to it after Shabbos. You have to feel like there's nothing missing. It's done. And therefore, it's perfect, I'm reading between the lines, that we choose the number 40. Because the number 40 represents wholeness. The totality of creation of an embryo, Chazal say, is 40 days. Until 40 days, it's called Maya Ba'alma. It's just water. How many days was it, Rachmana Litzlan, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to hose down the world to recreate it in the days of Noach? 40 days. When a person immerses in a mikvah and emerges recreated, they come out of a body of water that has how many sa'a? 40 sa'a. The number 40 is a whole unit. So says the Chernobyler, Malacha is Arboim Chasar Achas. If you're going to do work on Shabbos, it means that there's something missing from your 40. You're supposed to feel on Shabbos like it's full, it's whole. When you do Malacha, Malacha means I'm missing something, so I have to mend it. I have to fill it. I have to fix it. I have a problem with my jacket, so there's a lack. So I'm going to fix it. So now it's whole. But before I fixed it, it was chaser. It was lacking. On Shabbos, you're supposed to feel like you're whole. Ki ilu malachto asuya. Ki ha'osa malacha. A person who does work, hu machmas shehu chaser me'osa malacha. It's because he's lacking that thing. Fifth line. Va'osa zeh ha'malacha lahashlim chasrono. For example, hu ha'kli she'osa Shahayat Sarachla. A person didn't have a fork, so they go pick up a chunk of metal and they fashion a fork. Because they were missing something, they were lacking something, and now they have it. Every malacha is filling a lack. If you do the malacha, that means I had a lack. If it says the Chernobyler, the Shabbos, who Shema Dekud Shabrichu, Shabbos is the name of Hashem. That's quoting in the bracket you see from the Zohar Chadash. We are officially in the deep end of the pool, so I'm just going to read what it says. That Shabbos is the name of Hashem. Kiviyachol, so to speak. Shalim mikol sitrui. God's name is not lacking. Hashem lacks nothing. And if Shabbos is the expression of the name of Hashem, it can't lack anything. Ve'ein tzarech l'shum malacha. You don't need to do any work. She'eino chaser klum. You're not lacking. Va'od, and now he has an important teaching which appears in many Hasidic svarim. Klum chaser bebeis hamelech? Question mark. Is there anything lacking in the house of the king? What is the idea of malchus? The idea of Malchus the melech has no lack. There is nothing stopping the king. Anything that the melech is interested in, he's able to do it because he has unlimited resources. This is true on a practical level, on a malchusa da'ara, and we don't really necessarily appreciate this so much because we don't live in a context of monarchy. And the monarchy that exists in England is not really, that's not malchus. But old, original malchus meant that literally the king controlled everything. If the king didn't like how you looked, he would kill you. And there were no checks and balances. There was no due process. If the king wanted something, melech poritz geder, he would just take it. And there was nothing stopping him. That was classical malchus. So that means that malchus represents the ability to do anything. Rav Pinkus has this mashal al pi Kabbalah, that there are, so to speak, if we go back to, for example, our Seder plate. Many of you on your Seder plate had three segels, three circles. You had A, B, C on the top. So I think you had the Beitza on the right side and the Zeroa on the left side and the Mara in the middle. Am I remembering correctly? And then on the bottom, you had Charosis on the right side and Karpas on the left and Chazeres on the bottom. Something like that. So you had two circles. That's six. Those parallel, those two circles on your Seder plate, if your Seder plate is structured in this way, according to the Kabbalah, those circles on the Seder plate represent the six spheros, the six energies of capacity that Hashem puts in the world. So the first one on the top right is Chesed, on the left is Gevura, in the middle is Tiferes. So each thing, so the Zroa is on the right side, that represents Chesed. The Beitza is on the left side, that represents Gevura. And there's a reason for that. Beitza has to do with Avelos and Yitzchak. And each one of these things has many different layers. And the middle is, what is the middle? Is the Karpas or Maror? I forget what. Anyway, I'm sorry, I forget what it was. I should have written it down. But anyway, this is just a mashal. These three and three are these three patterns, these two patterns of three. Chesed, Gevur, Tiferes, and then Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. So you have a line on the right side, a line on the left side, and a left, and then on line in the middle. Three circles, three segels. Three segels. Those represent the six energies of capacity, that what you, the potential that you have. But just because you have a lot of feelings of Chesed, but maybe you can't, maybe you don't have time to express that Chesed. You don't have the means to express that Chesed. You're, you know, isolated somewhere. You can't express that Chesed. But the Melech has no limits. So if the Melech has the Midah of Chesed, he can execute it if he wants to. The Melech has the Midah of Din, he can execute it if he wants to. So those things all go on the Seder plate. The Seder plate, that represents Malchus. It takes all of the potential, all of the capacity, and it executes it. So your Seder plate is the collection of all those things. Now, you notice the Seder plate doesn't have any specific thing in it, right? The cup for the Maror has the Maror. That's a Midah. The cup for the Zeroa, in our house, let's say they put it in a little cup, right? On the plate. You don't have to, but the Seder plate, does the Seder plate have any identity in itself? If someone were to ask you, what is the Midah, the character, the energy that the Seder plate is expressing, what would you say?
Holding.
Exactly. It's just holding everything. It's the ability to take all of the pre-existing midos. That's al-pi Kabbalah, that it is leis lei migar mei klum. That's the expression in Kabbalah about this seventh quality. So the Midah of Malchus says, all those things, the Maror and the Chazeres and the Charosis, all the things you put on the Seder plate, that's just in potential. That's your capacity. What's going to actualize it? The Seder plate is the symbol of the actualization of all those things. That's called the Midah Malchus. The same way that you can have somebody who wants They want to do something good for someone else, but they don't have the ability. But the melech has the ability, because there are no limits to the melech. The melech has the potential to, and has the ability to actualize everything. If the melech wants to have salami, he's going to have salami at the Suda. There's no stopping him. Who's going to tell him no? He's going to get there the week before they close. He will not get there. And by the way, if in the Altaheim, if the melech wanted salami after Romania was closed, you bet your bottom dollar that they would reopen for the melech. Not for anybody else, but just for the melech. Never. Sure. I think in those days, even the melech was able to do that. But the point is that, so now, if Shabbos is the Bechina of Malchus, Shabbos, Malkasa, the Melech, the Rambam said, when we greet Shabbos, we're greeting the Melech. The Shulchan Aruch said, we're greeting the Malkus. That's why we're getting dressed, taking a shower, preparing for Shabbos, because we're having the guest that's the Melech. Is the Melech lacking anything? Klum chaser beveis ha-Melech? That's the line. The Melech doesn't lack. The Melech wants a cup of coffee with a certain creamer, he gets it. There's nothing lacking. So now, we're living in the realm of Shabbos Malkasa, Shabbos Melech. So therefore, we lack nothing. Klum chaser beveis ha-Melech? Is there anything lacking from the king's home? From our life, there's nothing lacking. V'Shabbos Malkasa yi. Nimtza, therefore, it turns out, lo nikru malachos, it's not called doing a malacha, kiyim kishu chaser achas. When you feel like you're lacking, that's when you're going to do malacha. So, the amazing diuk, avos malachos, when do you have main categories? When you are arboim, when you have 40, when you have everything, when it's whole, chaser achas. You think you're missing something, then you're going to have a malacha. You're going to do a malacha. But that's not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos stick to do malachas. Because klum chaser beveis ha-melech. Amazing idea. Klum chaser beveis ha-melech. Is anything lacking in the house of the king? Nothing is lacking. Nothing is lacking in the house of the king. So here I'm thinking to myself, how do I experience this on Shabbos? And I'm sure there are tzaddikim who experience this, but I'm not a tzaddik. So I'm thinking to myself, how do I relate to this? You see how when I started thinking about this, when I came across this Maharal that I'll talk about in a few minutes. But like, it's a really tough question. A person has many daigas, many worries, many things that are weighing on them. And a person goes back to them on Motzoi Shabbos. They don't disappear. We all know that they're there. This idea that we have everything is even in the Nusach HaBracha. We have a special bracha that we change from weekday to Shabbos to reflect this idea. I don't know if you ever noticed it. There's a bracha called Hashkivenu. Chazal call it the Geula Arichta. In the Maariv davening, before Shmona Esrei, you say Hashkivenu, the Ribbono Shel Olam should lay us down to sleep tonight because it's the nighttime, and we should be taken care of in all different ways. So that taken care of, the Ribbono Shel Olam watching over us, is a shmira, guarding. And that's the conclusion, that's Geula Arichta, the Gemara says, the end of redemption. So how do you end the Hashkivenu Bracha during the week? Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. That's the end of the Bracha of Hashkivenu. How do you end the Hashkivenu on Friday night? That's it. So you see, right on the page. Source number 4. Baruch Ato Hashem, Haporeis Sukkah Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Yisrael V'al Yerushalayim. Shabbos is Prisa of Sukkah Shalom. The word Shalom, of course, comes from the word Shalem. When you greet someone on Shabbos, it's not coincidental that even though we often use the Yiddishism of a guten Shabbos or good Shabbos, really it's Shabbat Shalom, because Shalom is an inyan of Shalem. On Shabbos, the Shmira, the Hashkivenu, is Sukkah Shalom. There's wholeness. Shabbos, everybody's whole. Really? How do we approach that? How do we feel whole on Shabbos? How do we feel like all our work is done? So the Maharal, in a piece in the Gevuras Hashem, has an amazing distinction between two concepts. And this is the style of the Maharal. The Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lo, the great classic thinker and Jewish, not just philosopher, but Jewish Baal Machshava. He came up with a way of looking at the themes and the inner workings of Judaism, and he essentially has his own lexicon. You need to really learn a lot of Maharal to understand the terminology that he uses, because he creates his own language. So one of the distinctions that the Maharal draws is between two words. One is chomer, and the next word is tzura. Now, I'm not an expert in Maharal, so I can't say that this is the only way that the Maharal distinguishes between these two words, but this is certainly one way that the Maharal distinguishes between them, and I'll try to explain them to the best of my ability, which, as we all know, is extremely limited. Chomer is material. Chomrius is materialism or materialistic. That's why a donkey is a symbol of materialism. Maharal points out that many places in the Torah we have this appearance of chamor. What is a chamor? A donkey. It is the image, the symbol of the material. Physical. That's chomer. What is tzura? So tzura, for the Maharal, is a little bit different than you would use the word tzura in modern Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, you would use tzura to talk about the shape of something. But you could also, let's say from an artistic standpoint, before the artist draws something on the page, they have an image in their mind. They have an idea. They have a picture of something, right? That's first you have a vision of something. And that vision is not physical. That vision is abstract. It's just in the mind. So the Maharal uses the word tzura. He says that a tzura of something is the abstract realm. That's the difference between chomer and tzura. Chomer is something physical. Tzura is the spiritual dimension of something. When he says tzura, that's what he means. So don't be confused. Tzura doesn't mean a shape on a paper. Tzura is not a shape. Tzura is the concept of something. So for example, you could say that the ideal vision of yourself, that's your tzura. And your physical body is your chomer. And those two, they're not contradictory. They're two different things. And they both exist at the same time. You have a tzura, you have a spiritual ideal identity, and you have chomer. You have a physical body. This is the Maharal's distinction. It appears at different places. So Maharal explains. He says that on the level of chomer, of physical, there is always lack. Why is that? Because on the level of chomer, there's always a limit. Everything that's physical has an end point. By definition, if it's physical, it starts here and it ends somewhere. It doesn't go on forever. That's the nature of the realm of chomer. Anything which is in the realm of chomer, and I hope I'm being clear, and if I'm not, you could stop me. Anything that's in the realm of physical is limited. And anything which is limited automatically means it's lacking because it doesn't have what's beyond. Anything which is in the realm of tzura is not limited. Tzura doesn't have an upper maximum. Tzura is just transcendent. Tzura doesn't have a a beginning and an end, right? Your vision of yourself, that it doesn't compute. It's not about a beginning and an end. It's a spiritual dimension. So in the realm of Tzura, there are no limits. And therefore, there's nothing lacking. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam Kivyachol? The Ribbono Shel Olam is Kulo Ruchani. There's nothing tangible. There's nothing physical about God. And our comparison, the part of us which is similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is our Tzura. So there's a part of us that exists in a realm that has no limits, that has no chaser. So for the Maharal, and he often does this, he draws a black and white contrast. There's Chomer and there's Tzura. Two totally fundamentally, categorically different realms. Binary, black and white. There's Chomer and there's Tzura. Then, he points out, you can have Tzura in the Chomer, like you can put them together, but fundamentally they're two different things. So when I saw this line in the Maharal, I was like, oh, maybe that's a way to approach this fundamental understanding of Shabbos. Because one way to approach this is to say, look, we're going to use our imagination. And we're going to imagine for 25 hours that we're not lacking anything. That the list of things to do doesn't exist. We'll just use our imagination. And in Yadus, we oftentimes need to use our imagination. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch says that when a person davens, they should use their imagination. Imagine they're standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Today, sometimes a person could use their imagination. Imagine they're standing at the Kotel for davening. Rebbe Elimelech of Lezhensk, the Holy Rebbe Melech writes in the Tzetel Katan, a very, very intense idea. He says that when a person says Kriya Shema, since they're Mekabel Olav, O Malchus Shemayim, they should imagine as if they are about to be thrown into a fiery furnace by anti-Jewish persecutors, and that they're willing to give up their life for the unity of Hashem, for Ichud Hashem. That's the imagination that you should have, says Rav Melech, in the Kriya Shema. That's super high level. So maybe one way to deal with this question is we're going to imagine on Shabbos like Klum Chasel Beis HaMelech, we're going to use our imagination that nothing is lacking. That's one way to deal with it. But based on this Maharal, I don't think it's the pshat that you need to imagine that something isn't the way that it is. I think based on the Maharal, we could say that it's true that on the level of Chomer, we have a lot of things that we have to do. And those things didn't disappear on Shabbos. We got to do them. And we're constrained to not do them until Saturday night. But perhaps the point is that ideally a person on Shabbos should not live in the realm of Chomer. They should live in the realm of Tzura. And according to the Maharal, if you occupy the realm of Tzura, nothing is lacking. That realm lacks nothing. So on Shabbos, we can shift our perspective. And who articulates this? This teaching is brought in the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, in source number 5, he says, "V'ikar Yom HaShabbos hu lehistabek b'Hashem Yisbarach." The main thing of Shabbos, middle of the top, in source 5, 7th line, "V'ikar," the main thing of the day of Shabbos, "hu lehistabek b'Hashem Yisbarach," is to cling to Hashem, al yedei tefila v'torah lishma, through davening and learning for the sake of Hashem. Ulaze kore bezora kadosh. Again, we're deep in the Zohar here. He quotes it from the Parshas Vayakel. Hayoma, this day. What day? The day of Shabbos. Yoma dinishmasin. It is the day of the souls. Velo yoma degufa. It is not a day of the body. Rotsa lomar, so to speak, Shemeir, Shoresh HaNeshamos, that the source of all souls, which of course is Hashem, the ultimate endless light, illuminates Al HaNeshamos Shebegufim, in our souls, if we could really see correctly, if we could really perceive what happens on Shabbos, we would realize that our souls are illuminated with the source of all souls. Vehein nichsafim elav. And the inner ratzon of our soul desires and reaches out and seeks Hashem. Vze nikra, and this is called Tosefes Shem B'Neshama Yisera. This is the Gemara in Maseches Beitza that Reish Lakish teaches us, that every Shabbos we are introduced to our expanded soul, our Neshama Yisera. That's why we have Besamim on Matzoy Shabbos, because our Neshama feels a lack. The Neshama Yisera, the added soul, goes away. So we make our sixth, fifth, whatever you're going to call it, it's the fifth sense, but it relates to our neshama, feel a little bit of comfort with besamim, with smelling something that gives us a lift. So that's why you do besamim on Motzei Shabbos, because your neshama yaseira is leaving. What is the neshama yaseira? It's not an added soul. It's not that you get two burgers instead of one. It's that you have this enhanced connection to the inner part of your soul. And now he ends the piece, the Baal Shem, the Kol Zeh, this is Bereishis Os Pe Gimel, the Kol Zeh Nirgash, this is sensed Labare Leva, for those who are of clear heart. Okay, I'm not on that Madrega. But if a person could really feel it on Shabbos, they would feel a closer connection to their Neshama. Yoma D'Neshmasa. So I wonder if that's what the Maharal is alluding to. If that's what all of these ideas are trying to get us to understand. That if we move away from the world of Chomer, the world of the physical, and we move into the realm, the dimension of spiritual, then Taka, Mizma L'David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. In that realm, Lo Echsar, there is no lack. There is Sukkah Shalom. There's nothing chaser from the Beis HaMelech. And that's not using your imagination. That's the person's reality. It's the reality of the Tzura. And then what's interesting, I think, is that by living in that world of the Yoma de Nishmasa, it gives you a whole nother perspective on all the physical things that we do on Shabbos. Right, because even though the Ikar is the Neshama, but of course on Shabbos there's Oneg Shabbos, the different aspects of Oneg Shabbos, of how we feel physically. Rashi says, when the Gemara introduces the idea of Neshama Yisera, Rashi says you have an expanded Neshama Yisera, which includes the ability to enjoy food on Shabbos. There you go. And by the way, I think that the cholin does taste different on Shabbos than it does during the week, especially if it's not leftover, as obviously that's one of the big inyanim. But what's the pshat? The pshat is that if you live in the realm of Tzura, then your perspective on Chomer is different. Your perspective on the Chomer is different. It's like that story of Rav Soloveitchik as a young person in the Mozhitzer Shtibel around the corner from their home in Warsaw, where he sat there at Shalashuddis in the Mozhitzer Shtibel, and he describes how the Chassidim were singing Mizma L'David, and they didn't just sing it in that Shtibel one time or three times, they sang it over and over. And he describes how there was a porter next to him who had a threadbare kapata, and that during the week, he was a schlepper, a porter, but on Shabbos he looked like a prince. So what's the pshat? What does it mean for this Jew, Mizma L'David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar? It means that because he lived in the realm of Tzura, so his perspective on the realm of Chomer was different. So for this Jew, this simple European Jew, I think he didn't see a kapata that had holes in it. And it's not that he used imagination, right? You can live in the realm of Chomer and have to use imagination. But I think what we're saying, what I think is really happening here, is that you do live in the Yoma Dinishmasa. You live in the realm of Tzura. And then your relationship with food is going to be different. If you live in the realm of Chomer, just to be very, very practical, so then you come to a Kiddush, and then it's all about, you know, elbowing in to get the last small hot dog, you know, like, because there's chaser, it's lacking. If I don't get this hot, like, but if you live in the realm of Tzura, that it's all about the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your relationship with food is different. And whatever we have is wonderful and appreciated. And so I started by saying that I haven't figured this out 100%, not that I've ever figured anything out, but part of it is because this is just an aspiration. Like, I don't know that I've ever experienced this, but realizing that that is the ideal, I think, is a madrega. You know, can I fully articulate it? Not really. Have I ever lived like this? Probably not. But I think as a matter of principle, this is really what we're striving for. We're striving to create a reality, not imagination. That's all. Maybe that's a first good step. But I think what we're striving for is to create a reality that when we throw away our hammer, there's nothing left to do, not because we think there's nothing left to do, that we imagine that there's nothing left to do, but because in our Shabbos reality, there really is nothing left to do. That's the goal. The goal is to live in that Yoma Dinishmasa, as the Baal Shem says, where our guf, our body, feels within it the shoresh, which is its neshama. And that the avos malachos, we don't need them because we're at the level of our boim. How could you be at the level of our boim? There are so many things that I'm missing. There are so many projects that needs to be done. But the projects only live in the realm of Chomer, in the physical realm. In the realm of Tzura, in the realm of ideal, in the Yoma Dinishmasa, there are no projects. It's just the realm of Arboim. It's not coincidental that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the Torah at Har Sinai, he spent 40 days. Because that was that level where he was living B'Yoma Dinishmasa. On his high level, he didn't even eat for 40 days. But I think even though it's hard to put this into words and hard to put it even more into practice, but the idea of Hapori Sukkah Shalom, the idea of Klum Chaser Mibeis HaMelech, is something that invites us to shift from the perspective of living in Chomer and then just imagining that everything is done, to living in the realm of Tzura, the Yoma Dinishmasa, where actually really everything is done.